Hello and welcome to episode 852 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. It is my pleasure to be with you this morning. My name is Terrence M. Stanton. We are recording on Easter Wednesday, April 3rd, 2024, in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us begin with St. Alphonsus Liguori's Wednesday prayer to the Most Blessed Virgin Mary to obtain deliverance from hell. My most beloved Lady, I thank Thee for having delivered me from hell as many times as I have deserved it by my sins. Miserable creature that I was once condemned to that prison, and perhaps already after the first sin, the sentence would have been put into execution if Thou, in Thy compassion, hadst not helped me. Thou, without even being asked by me, and only in Thy goodness, didst restrain divine justice, and then, conquering my obduracy, Thou didst draw me to have confidence in Thee. Oh, into how many other sins should I have afterwards fallen, and the dangers in which I have been, hadst not Thou, my loving Mother, preserved me by the graces which Thou didst obtain for me. Ah, my Queen, continue to guard me from hell, for what will Thy mercy and the favors which Thou hast shown me avail me if I am lost? If I did not always love Thee, now at least, after God, I love Thee above all things. Never allow me to turn my back on Thee and on God, who by Thy means has granted me so many graces. My most amiable Lady, never allow me to have the misfortune to hate Thee and curse Thee for all eternity in hell. Will Thou endure to see a servant of Thine who loves Thee lost? O Mary, what sayest Thou? I shall be lost if I abandon Thee. But who can evermore have the heart to leave Thee? How can I ever forget the love Thou hast borne me? My Lady, since Thou hast done so much to save me, complete the work, continue Thy aid. Wilt Thou help me? But what do I say? If at a time when I lived forgetful of Thee, Thou didst favor me so much, how much more may I not hope for now that I love Thee and recommend myself to Thee? No, he can never be lost who recommends himself to Thee. He alone is lost who has not recourse to Thee. Ah, my Mother, leave me not in my own hands, for I should then be lost. Grant that I may always have recourse to Thee. Save me, my hope, save me from hell. But in the first place, save me from sin, which alone can condemn me to it. Prayer for the conversion of the Jews. Most sweet Jesus, Redeemer of the human race, turn Thine eyes of mercy toward the children of that race, once Thy chosen people. Of old they called down upon themselves the blood of the Savior. May it now descend upon them a laver of redemption and of life. Amen. Today, friends, we are going to head back to the Fatima Crusader, issue 132, the spring 2024 edition. And this is chapter 3 of this series of small articles entitled Dr. Peter Chernowski and Sister Lucy Truth. Once again, we're going through the controversy here of a fake Sister Lucy, allegedly, and I think the evidence is quite convincing that a imposter Sister Lucy did replace the real Sister Lucy on or about 1967. And this is just going to discuss the various implications of that and the evidence for it. Dr. Peter Chernowski accepted Mr. Venari's challenge to take the question of an imposter to a higher level of inquiry, though not in the manner envisioned by Mr. Venari. Over the course of several years, 2018 to 2022, Dr. Chernowski and his Sister Lucy Truth Project commissioned experts to try to determine if an imposter had been presented to the world as Sister Lucia of Fatima. The experts appear to have professional credentials and impressive resumes. There is no reason to doubt their objectivity. The photographic evidence. Dr. Chernowski collected more than 100 photographs of Sister Lucia. He divided them into four groups. Number one, Subject A were photos of Sister Lucia aged 10 to 18. Number two, Subject B were photos of Sister Lucia aged 20 to 40. Number three, Subject C were photos of Sister Lucia aged 60. All of the photos in this group appear to have come from Sister Lucia's appearance with Pope Paul VI in 1967. And number four, Subject D were photos of Sister Lucia aged 75 and over. Several of these photos come from her appearances with Pope John Paul II in 1982, 1991, and 2000. One is from Marian Helper magazine, and one is dated from 2000 at Valinhos. Dr. Chronowski sent these images to experts in facial recognition, facial mathematics, prosthodontics, plastic surgery, oral surgery, forensic artistry, and periodontics. With reasonable certainty, they agreed that subject A and subject B were the same person. Subject C and subject D were the same person. But subjects A and B were a different person than subjects C and D. In other words, the woman in the photos prior to 1967 was Sister Lucia, and the woman in the photos since 1967 was an imposter. A periodontist familiar with Sister Lucia's dental records reported that the two women's remarkably different facial profiles, including Sister Lucy II's dramatically protruding chin, cannot be explained by aging, the removal of teeth, or the implanting of dentures. A plastic surgeon opined that only a chin implant or a broken jawbone could account for such a difference in the same individual. Lucy I and Lucy II are not and cannot be the same individual, concluded an oral surgeon, who offered his expert opinion. To a reasonable degree of medical certainty, the noses of the two women and even their nostril holes displayed different shapes and angles. An indentation below the bottom lip is wider and deeper on Sister Lucy I's face than Sister Lucy II's. Their foreheads display vastly different underlying frontal bones. Experts noted discrepancies between the younger and older subjects' photos that defy the normal effects of aging. An upper eyelid crease in nearly every photo of Sister Lucy II, which is found nowhere among the photos of Sister Lucy I, where it would almost certainly be visible if they were the same subject. A greater distance of the eyebrows above the eyes of Sister Lucy II than of Sister Lucy I, whereas the distance normally decreases with age, and a shorter distance between the nose and the top of the upper lip of Sister Lucy II than of Sister Lucy I, whereas this philtrum length normally increases with age. Facial mathematics reveals discrepancies in the ratios of nose width, mouth width, and interpupillary distance of the two subjects, ratios which normally remain constant throughout adulthood. Based on six independent ratios yielded by seven facial lengths, a facial mathematician calculated that the probability that Sister Lucy I and Sister Lucy II are the same person is 1 in approximately 13 million. The handwriting evidence. Dr. Chronowski and Sister Lucy Truth also retained one handwriting expert who compared certain handwriting samples from the known Sister Lucia to certain handwriting samples published after 1967. He determined that the text of the Third Secret Vision of a Bishop Dressed in White, published by the Vatican on June 26, 2000, is authentic, written by the same author as Sister Lucia's memoirs. On the other hand, he found that a December 27, 1969 letter purported to be from Sister Lucia to Dr. Alcino Magalhães, which demanded obsequious obedience to Pope Paul VI, was a forgery. Dubiously, the expert also found that it was highly probable that Sister Lucia did not write an April 13, 1980 letter to Father Umberto Pasquale, in which she made clear that Our Lady had never spoken to her about the consecration of the world to her Immaculate Heart, only the consecration of Russia. But Father Pasquale had known Sister Lucia since 1939, and this was one of 157 letters he received from her. Sister Lucia's words in that statement are consistent with the statements she had made on the subject for decades. See Chapter 5. And we will get to that the day after tomorrow. So ends the chapter for today. But the thing that we're going to continue to emphasize, and as we go forward here, you can see that the evidence is mounting, and indeed it will become overwhelming that an imposter at 1967 and thereafter had replaced the actual Sister Lucy in public appearances. The important thing for you and me to remember, and what Father Gruner would want to emphasize to us, and John Venari would want to emphasize to us if they were here. They're deceased. May their wonderful souls rest in peace. Is to keep our eye on the ball, as it were, and to remember the five elements of the first Saturday devotion. Let's go through that again. Number one, make a good confession within 8 days before or after the first Saturday of the month. Two, receive Holy Communion. Three, pray five decades of the Holy Rosary. Four, keep Our Lady company for 15 additional minutes while meditating on the mysteries of the Rosary. And five, offer each of the above acts in reparation for the blasphemies and offenses committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And once again, I'm going to mention the first Saturday challenge. Help us present Our Lady with a spiritual bouquet of 100,000 first Saturdays by the 100th anniversary of her request of this devotion, December 10, 2025. To join the challenge, please visit www.fatima.org/100x100. That's www.fatima.org/100x100. So we don't want to get sidetracked, folks. We want to keep our eye on the ball. We want to make sure we're doing our five first Saturday devotions and that we're living a virtuous life, doing good, avoiding evil, being the best Catholics we can possibly be. I want to conclude once again by mentioning Helping Autism Through Learning and Outreach, available on the web at halo-soma.org. That's halo-soma.org. Also, please tune into episodes 277 and 548 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. For more information pertaining to RPM, that is an acronym for Rapid Prompting Method, a system of communication for non-speakers. Before my niece was about 8 years old, we didn't even know her favorite color. Now, thanks to God's grace, her hard work, the hard work of her family, we know that she's a comprehensive genius who composes music, poetry, very skilled in regards to mathematics. She even knows foreign languages. We would have known none of that without RPM. It has been as big of a breakthrough in terms of being able to communicate for non-speakers as sign language was for the deaf. You can also point to Braille in terms of being able to read for the blind, but you can't use a tool unless you know about it. That's where you come in. Please spread this information far and wide and try to put yourself in the shoes of a non-speaker. Imagine how sad and frustrated you would be. Communication is a human right. This is taking non-speakers out of the world of silence that they're in and getting them into the world of open communication where they rightfully belong. RPM has been a godsend to many families, and we pray it will be a godsend to many thousands more. Please say an Ave Maria for yours truly. Thank you so much for listening, and I will talk to you again very soon. Goodbye, and God love you.